Good morning. Today there will be lots of economic news. The quarterly gross domestic product results come out indicating whether the economy is growing. Also, the Federal Reserve meets today. This follows gloomy news yesterday, John, of a 12.7 drop in home prices.
I think that's the largest on record.
And
it's never been bigger than that.
And that's not encouraging. And on top of that, foreclosures were up 112% from the same time last year. Today, though, some say the GDP numbers may not be as bad as expected. Is that right, Peter? Better numbers than expected?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the prognostications are sort of all over the board on what we're going to hear about the GDP in the first 3 months of the year. But a lot of economists think that inventories, stuff that they're making in factories, have been building up in larger quantities than we might have expected given the slowing economic conditions, and that alone was enough economic activity to keep things growing for the quarter.
That's Peter Goodman of the New York Times. He's joined us to help us sort through what's happening in the economy. Now, technically, the definition of a recession is two quarters of negative growth, but you say the country's on a knife's edge, while some people are arguing we're already in a recession and others not.
I'm not in the prognostication business. I mean, I can tell you what economists are saying. A lot of economists I've been talking to think that we're on the verge now of finding out what the next many months are going to be like, because either this big buildup of inventories is going to result in some extra sales. I mean, factories have been reluctant to let go of workers because, it costs money to let workers go. It's not good PR. It's not good for the workers. And they've been hanging on and hoping that orders materialize for the stuff that they've been producing. And if they don't get those orders, then they're going to find themselves with a lot of extra people, and then we're likely to see larger waves of layoffs, and then that takes us further down this spiral we're in.
And some of that hopefulness, of course, is tied to the stimulus checks that have started going out to Americans yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, most people think we're going to get some bump up from these stimulus checks. People are going to take this money. They're going to go to the mall. They're going to go online. They're going to buy things. And that's going to lead to some economic activity. The question is that going to be enough to put some confidence back in markets so that banks say, wow, something really fundamental has changed here. The economy is on healthier footing. We're going to start lending money to people with, less than stellar credit. Businesses are going to say now might actually be a good time to expand, and they're going to hire more people.
Those are a lot of hopes there. Peter, when I look back at the economy, over the last month or so, it seems to me that there's an attempt by certain factors that are sort of market-based to kind of puff air into a balloon that seems to be slowly coming down, whether it's the manufacturing issues that you've talked about where, companies will try to sell inventories. There's also this enormous amount of money on the sidelines, this liquidity, whether we're talking about sovereign funds or rich people in the United States that keep trying to find things to invest in that produce these blips in the market. But if you're talking about a decline of real estate assets in the United States broadly, and the numbers yesterday were staggering, I mean, at some point, this balloon's got to settle.
That is one school of thought. It doesn't appear to be the school of thought that's driving actions at the Fed, where the hope is you make credit available, you flood the market with liquidity, and you hope the money goes places productive. And in particular, you hope you make it easier for people to get the next mortgage and put a bottom on a plummeting housing market.
Well, you have some experience in Asia. I mean, in the early 1990s, Japan had a recession that really was based in real estate assets, the bursting of a real estate bubble, and it went on for quite a long time. If that's what we're looking at here in the United States, and I'm not saying we are, but if that's the dynamic here, does that argue for this being more prolonged, more severe? What does it mean? It's kind of unprecedented in the United States.
Well, I mean, there's some pretty big differences between what we're going through and what Japan went through in its so-called lost decade. I mean, Japan had all sorts of political problems, and we could get there from here, but to date, there seems to be more of a will to try to reckon with the size of this problem for banks and you know, move bad assets off balance sheets and make the financial sector healthy more quickly, as opposed to sort of trying to paper over the problem over years and years, as happened in Japan. But yeah, I mean, one similarity is that we're finding out that even if the Fed drops interest rates into negative territory in terms of inflation, where, you know, money's effectively free, banks still won't lend it if they're afraid that the overall economic conditions don't warrant it. I mean, if there aren't good businesses out there that can make money, banks don't want a piece of it.
Peter, a yes or no question very quickly. It's widely expected, right, that U.S. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will cut interest rates again today when the Fed Reserve meets?
Yeah, that's the consensus. But the big question is, what sort of language are we going to get out of the Fed? Are they going to signal that they're worried that all of this cheap money is exacerbating inflation, and signal that, you know, this is it, guys, we'll give you one more round, but then maybe we even start lifting rates up long-term, or at least, you know, keep them level? Or is there more to come?
So we'll see. Peter Goodman, New York Times reporter. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Peter.